Think you know all about Cleveland? Think again and get ready to learn much more about Cleveland. Listen to the latest episodes of Destination Cleveland's podcast, Legends of the Land. We're talking to locals and experts to uncover answers to those burning questions we get asked about the land. Get the real story behind all things Cleveland. From its rich history to the hidden gems, there's so much to explore. Tune in on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you find your podcasts. Discover a side of Cleveland you never knew.
What is going on, guys? Thank you so very much for joining me right here on Off the Script. This is your Friday Night SmackDown post show for November 1st, 2024. I am your host, JD from New York. As always, coming to you live from the OTS venue. Thank you guys so very much for joining me on your Friday evenings, wherever you may be. Friday Night SmackDown, the go-home show tonight before tomorrow afternoon's Crown Jewel 2024. Loaded show tomorrow afternoon. I will be live after Crown Jewel is over. And right now we're looking at seven matches on the card, which is a lot compared to what Triple H has given us on these B-level pay-per-views throughout 2024. And it's a low-key banger card. I think a lot of major storyline implications will come out of Crown Jewel going into Survivor Series. Tonight we got the Bloodline, Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, and Jimmy Uso. They will team up. And there was a great segment tonight where we got all three of them back on the same page and they threw the ones in the air. It was a great moment in New York City. And they will go up against Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu, and Tama Tonga of the Bloodline 2.0. So that got added tonight. And there will be major implications, I'm sure, coming out of that as we will be left with 4 weeks till the Survivor Series, where it is rumored we will be getting War Games, Bloodline versus Bloodline Civil War. So I'm very excited to see what comes out of that. The other big thing is Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens struck first tonight against Randy Orton. He showed up at the end of the tag team main event tonight between Randy Orton teaming with Cody Rhodes against Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser. He showed up in sweats and a hoodie, and he was not supposed to be there. He was wielding a steel chair, and he blasted Randy Orton in the back with the steel chair while Cody Rhodes was being choked out by Gunther. So there's a lot going on there that I'm also heavily invested in, because last week, Randy Orton begged Triple H to give him a match with Kevin Owens at Crown Jewel. We were not going to get it after weeks of Randy Orton wanting this match. Nick Aldis couldn't do it. It was above his pay grade. Now we got Triple H and Randy Orton face-to-face last week, which gave us Randy Orton getting his match, Triple H agreeing to it with a very cryptic and ominous message. You are going to be sorry that you asked for this. So Randy Orton and Kevin Owens will be going one-on-one at Crown Jewel, but he did strike first tonight at the end of the show. All in all, you guys know I hate tape shows, man. You guys know I hate tape shows. They just feel lifeless. A lot of this show felt lifeless. A lot of this show felt taped. You could physically hear it, the way that it's produced and the way that it comes off. But it did have a couple of marquee moments tonight for sure that will certainly bleed into major stories going on into Crown Jewel and then obviously into Survivor Series. We will talk about all that on what was a lame duck show tonight on Friday Night SmackDown. But the major news tonight is not what happened on the show. The major news is what happened before Friday Night SmackDown, as WWE released three talents, and they are all gone from WWE. Baron Corbin, Indy Hartwell, and Tegan Knox all released from WWE. We will get into that right now, as WWE made this news, or gave us this news, I should say, right before Friday Night SmackDown. Baron Corbin, Tegan Knox, and Indy Hartwell are leaving WWE, and this is a follow-up to the initial report from Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful Select. Baron Corbin was informed that his deal would not be extended, with internal speculation being that his deal runs until the end of the year. Numerous indie bookers already asked Fightful when he would actually be available, with one top booker saying they hoped he would continue his wrestling career. Corbin told Fightful recently he initially wasn't sold on teaming with Apollo Crews despite liking him, because he didn't feel they could be the team that the Lone Wolves were when he teamed with Bron Breakker on NXT television before Bron Breakker eventually made his way to Monday Night Raw and now sits as the Intercontinental Champion. Baron Corbin has rarely been used on TV throughout 2024, but has been a regular backstage at SmackDown and worked a number of dark matches. Baron Corbin was even at the Netflix shoot at WWE to promote the upcoming move to Monday Night Raw on Netflix on October 27th. Baron Corbin, he has been such an up and down, ice cold, hot one week, cold one week, back and forth type of character. Vince loved Baron Corbin. During the Vince days, Vince loved Baron Corbin. He found regular television when Vince was around. He undergone several character changes. He was the Lone Wolf, Baron Corbin, King Corbin, Constable Corbin, Happy Corbin, Sad Corbin. So many different gimmick changes for Baron Corbin, and none of them ever stuck at all. I think the Sad Corbin gimmick was the one that a lot of people actually found to be most entertaining because of the way Baron Corbin presented himself. He actually grew into the gimmick. He actually grew to be sad. He did everything that comes along with being sad. He grew his hair out. He didn't shave for weeks on end. He showed up and wrestled disheveled. White t-shirt. He had ketchup stains and fucking food stains all over his white t-shirt, or his white dress shirt, rather. He came to the show moping around. Believe it or not, it was actually a take on a real life situation that normal everyday people go through. Some people are sad, some people are happy. Some people go through the fucking, you know, the dark days of life and nothing ever goes right. And then he turned his luck around and he became Happy Corbin. One day he was Sad Corbin, the next day he was Happy Corbin. That resonated with people. Everybody goes through that. That's a normal gimmick that people can relate to. That's why, out of everything that he's done, especially on the main roster specifically, a lot of people took an interest in that because it's relatable. Now, obviously, everybody's going to cite his Lone Wolf character. That was the top of the top for Baron Corbin. I remember when Baron Corbin got to NXT for the first time and he had the theme music, the kick-ass theme music, and the end of days entrance, and the entire spotlight that would come on to the arena floor that would introduce him. Everything about his gimmick and his presentation, his character in the early days of Black and Gold were fucking great. I think a lot of people were anticipating him to be a major player. But we didn't get that Baron Corbin on the main roster. As soon as Vince got his claws into Baron Corbin on the main roster, we did not get anything that resembled the Lone Wolf Baron Corbin. He was a loser. And he spent years and years and years being a loser. Nobody believed in him. I don't want to mention Vince because Vince is not here anymore. Triple H is in charge, and if Triple H wanted to use Baron Corbin, Triple H has the power to use Baron Corbin, recreate Baron Corbin, put him in a priority role if he so wanted to. SmackDown could certainly use the talent. I'm not taking this and making it a Vince McMahon thing. Please don't take me out of context. Triple H could have absolutely used Baron Corbin if Triple H wanted to use Baron Corbin. It goes to Tegan Knox as well, and the same thing applies to Indy Hartwell. I understand it. But years and years and years of absolutely nothing for Baron Corbin. Not only do the fans not want to see Baron Corbin anymore, but Triple H also feels like this is a waste of my time and this is a commodity that is not the same as I remember building him up in the early days of Black and Gold. It's a mixture of that and a mixture of the company just moving on by talents like this. There are a sea of talents in NXT that are probably going to get called up in the next 6 months. WWE, unfortunately, needed to make some room for three of the top talents that they plan to call up from NXT. And unfortunately, Baron Corbin, Tegan Nox, and Indy Hartwell were the three casualties. Do I think Baron Corbin had a spot on WWE television? That's very subjective. I wasn't the biggest Baron Corbin fan. I wasn't.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows the resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash, receive unlimited 1% deposit bonuses, and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Get the privileges of the high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product-specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Did he do what he needed to do good? Sure. Baron Corbin was always solid in the ring. He showed you how solid he was in the ring when he wrestled on NXT. It was a different Baron Corbin than what we saw on the main roster. He was very one-dimensional. He did what Vince asked him to do on the main roster. But when he went down to NXT, he knew he had to adapt. He knew he needed to do more. He knew exactly what those people wanted to see. And they gave him the canvas to do so. They gave him the lone wolf gimmick. Obviously, he didn't have the hair. They gave him the theme music. They gave him a better moveset. They let him go out there and actually wrestle. So yes, he did do what he did very well. But did the fans appreciate it? At the end of the day, they did not. Baron Corbin, you asked him to be a good guy. Baron Corbin went out there and was a good guy. He wanted to be a bad guy. He went out there and did the bad guy thing very well. He got heat. No matter how you looked at it, he did get heat. I wasn't the biggest Baron Corbin guy. But I also was definitely one of the people that felt for him when they took the one thing that was going to truly make him successful. They took that one thing away from him. And then he was left with all these different things that just didn't work out. And when you try and fail, try and fail, try and it doesn't get over. Try again and it doesn't get over. They send you down to NXT, you get better. You show them exactly what you're made of. You get better and you get called up again and are given a second chance and it still doesn't work out. It's time to leave. It's time to go and do something and apply what you did, take what you learned, and do it somewhere else. If Baron Corbin wants to wrestle, if he wants to continue to wrestle, then I think TNA would be a perfect opportunity for him to do so. Or, you know, he was one of those guys that always looked down on, you know, the people working the indies back in the early days when he was really a prick. He was one of those guys along with Braun Strowman that kind of looked down on working the bingo halls and working the low-budget armories and these fucking rinky-dink places. Is he going to go work the indies? Because I certainly think he could be successful knowing who he is and where he came from. Look at Matt Cardona. Matt Cardona labeled himself as the king of the indies. He still hasn't been signed by a major promotion, which is very surprising seeing the body of work that he's done. But if Baron Corbin wants to go and do that, then he certainly has the opportunity to do exactly what Matt Cardona has done, Dolph Ziggler, Nick Nemeth has done, Mustafa Ali. Dijak was just released from WWE a few months ago, and they didn't bring him back. He's doing his thing on the indies. He could definitely make an impact, no pun intended, if he wanted to continue to do pro wrestling. The tag team with Apollo Crews was something that felt very forced and very thrown together. If he didn't like it, then he didn't like it. He didn't like it because he didn't like Apollo Crews. He didn't like it because of the wishy-washy way that they were treating him. He didn't like it because they sent him down to NXT to recreate himself and get back to where he used to be. He was in the process of doing that. And then they called him up to the main roster to stick him in catering and then realized that he was still employed there. Hey, we just called up Baron Corbin. What should we do? Yeah, we'll just team him up with the other guy that we haven't really been featuring on television in Apollo Crews. If you're Baron Corbin, are you happy with that? If you're Baron Corbin, are you happy that you were given an NXT tag team title run with one of the hottest guys in the entire company in Bron Breakker? He went on to win the Intercontinental Championship. He went on to be one of the biggest pieces of the company's future. And this guy is languishing in catering and he can't even get a fucking spot on TV. Would you be happy? Ask yourself that question. Would you be happy? Baron Corbin, no matter how much he probably wanted to stay in WWE, I don't know if Baron Corbin's ever going to get wind of this, but Baron Corbin is probably better off doing anything else but WWE. If he wants to go wrestle the indies, he'll go wrestle the indies, and he'll be good at it. If he wants to go to TNA, I'm sure they'll find a very good spot for him. He is a sizable big man with a very good moveset that could generate heat. He will find an opportunity somewhere. But after the last go-around, ask yourself and put yourself in Baron Corbin's shoes. All the work that you did to show these people that you had it, you rekindled that, it, whatever it was, you rekindled it, and you still couldn't open their eyes, and you still couldn't get an opportunity and take what you did in NXT and apply it to the main roster. That means that they didn't want you. That means that they didn't appreciate you. Company has moved on. No matter how hard you try, you're just not going to make it to television and get onto SmackDown. See a lot of people complaining about Tegan Nox. Tegan Nox was released and will have 90-day non-compete. Now, the thing with Baron Corbin is he apparently was told, now this is the difference. Baron Corbin was told that his deal would not be extended. It doesn't say that he was released. So as soon as his deal is up, he is a free agent and doesn't have 90 days. So they're probably just keeping him at home and paying him his downside guarantee. And then when that time comes, he's free to do whatever he wants. Tegan Nox was released and will have a 90-day non-compete that will see her eligible to wrestle anywhere else on February 2025. Indy Hartwell as well, same thing. Now, Tegan Nox had not been on WWE TV in over 6 months and hadn't been booked for dark matches or live events in months. Fightful heard of no extension or no creative plans for quite some time, although she was occasionally at SmackDown tapings. Tegan Nox was the product of the Mae Young Classic. If you guys remember those great 32-woman tournaments, we got only two of them. Tegan Nox was a part of the Mae Young Classic. That's where she made her name first in the WWE. And you guys remember what happened. She was supposed to go on and win. Believe it or not, she was supposed to go on and win the one that she was a part of. And she blew out her knee in a match against Rhea Ripley. I remember it like it was yesterday. She did a dive on the outside. She hobbled back into the ring. She collapsed. There was a silence that came over Full Sail University that I never heard in that building while watching Black and Gold through all the years I was watching Black and Gold. Silence. Absolute silence. She came back and she blew the other knee out. Imagine having two absolutely devastating MCL and ACL torn meniscus injuries in both knees back to back. She made herself injury prone. WWE was going to have a very difficult time of trusting somebody like that early on. She went back to NXT and she did a little stint in NXT. And then WWE called her up to the main roster. Again, this is when Vince was still in charge. Vince didn't give a shit about women's wrestling. Bruce never gave a shit about women's wrestling. WWE didn't know what to do with Tegan Nox. You know what they did with Tegan Nox? They paired her up with Shotzi Blackheart. Shotzi got called up, and they didn't know what to do with her either. She was teaming, I think at the time, with Athena or Ember Moon in WWE. They were tag team champions, I believe, on NXT for a small period of time. Then Shotzi got called up and Tegan Nox was there and they paired them together for some reason. That didn't last long. And then she found herself off of television again and Shotzi basically became a loser on WWE television. Outside that, Tegan Nox did absolutely nothing on the main roster. I remember her on Monday Night Raw. I don't know if it was in the beginning of this year or late last year. They tried to push Tegan Nox on television. I remember her in a match against Natalya. And I remember her in a match against Becky Lynch. Nobody gave a shit. Nobody cared. And WWE did not use her on television for the rest of the time that she was on the main roster. She did nothing. See a lot of people crying and complaining about Indy and Tegan Nox. WWE has so many women ready to call up to the main roster, and everyone is crying about Tegan Nox. Social media is a fucking cesspool. Don't feel sorry for Tegan Nox. She's got 90 days to sit home and contemplate where she's going to work, get excited about who she's going to work with, and get excited about her 2025. Tegan Nox being released from the company is a blessing for Tegan Nox. If she says she's fully ready, if she says she's healthy to go, then she should want out because they were clearly doing nothing with her. I don't see what the big deal is. How many women on NXT are ready to get called up? I can think of four off the top of my head right now. Roxanne Perez, Sol Ruka, Stephanie Vaquer, Julia. Those two are not going to get called up yet. But Roxanne, when she drops that title, is getting called up. They may even call up Cora Jade before they call up anybody else as well. They got a lot of women down there that are ready for the call-up. And you're crying about Tegan Nox, who did absolutely fuck all on the main roster. You should be so happy if you're a Tegan Nox fan that this woman is now free and able after 90 days to go work wherever she wants and go work with whoever she wants to work with. She's going to make a name for herself doing what she does. She's going to be bigger in her first month in February than she was in all of the years that she spent in WWE sitting next to the rest of the catering crew doing absolutely fuck all. Don't be upset and don't be a bitch on social media who needs to cry about, oh my God, they released this one for so-and-so reasons. Oh, they didn't give her an opportunity. She's going to get all the opportunity that she could ever ask for, plus some that she doesn't know what to do with it. Don't worry about Tegan Nox. She's already got merchandise out for whatever she's going to be doing on the indies. Speaking of Indy Hartwell. She was released as well. 90-day non-compete. Indy Hartwell was the most unexpected of the group, says Fightful. Had a match tonight alongside Candice LeRae against Naomi and Bayley, which was a little awkward and a little bizarre to see. When asking for reactions, several staff and talent felt she was coming into her own with social media skits as of late. How many social media skits did I see? Not a single fucking one. For those asking Indy's wait, what tweet? She actually quote tweeted Sean Ross Sapp's initial tweet that she was released. And she said, wait, what? Almost kind of ribbing everybody while she I guess, pretended to be somewhere else and didn't get the news until it hit social media. They told her and she was ribbing everybody. She didn't find out on social media. Fightful hasn't and won't report on releases unless the talent knows about it already and rarely, if ever, would find out beforehand anyway. Contrary to tweets going around saying that Dijak once claimed in an interview that talent usually find out via social media, that is not true. He said other talent finds out about who is released via social media. Knox and Indy will also likely need to have their visa situation sorted out to continue wrestling in the United States, but Fightful has not confirmed that. We're not told of any reasons given to talent about the cuts. Talent were informed on November 1. For those asking, the internal claim was that this was the extent of this round of cuts. We're not sure the time frame on that phrasing. There could be more. There might not be any more. I don't know. Indy Hartwell, this is another one that I see people dancing around on social media complaining, oh, they didn't give her an opportunity. Oh, they didn't do this. Oh, they didn't do that. WWE, listen, Indy Hartwell wasn't anything special in NXT when she won the NXT Women's Championship for the short time that she had it. Everybody's over the moon about Indy Hartwell. You know, there's this disconnect from a certain pocket of Gen Z fans that watch the product, that basically started watching the product as of 2 years ago, that they see something that people like me who have been watching for a lifetime just don't see. Tegan Knox was great. She had something about her that was very lovable and very likable. She had that Becky Lynch quality about her. Fighting underdog spirit, Tegan Knox. We knew what her past history was, and we know the injuries that she's been through to get back. WWE didn't capitalize on that. She could have been a major player. They did not. Indy Hartwell, she won the NXT Women's Championship for a small period, got called up to the main roster, and again, they did fuck all with her. And people are claiming, oh, they didn't give her an opportunity to do so. They didn't really showcase what she can truly do. Well, what did she do on NXT that I somehow just did not see? Indy Hartwell wasn't very good. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything for you. She just wasn't good. If you're not good at your job, you will get cut. It doesn't matter who you are associated with or who you are paired with on the main roster. If you are not good, then you are going to lose your job. What is it about Indy that everybody's crying about? She was a very one-dimensional woman on the main roster. She had no character. She had no charisma. She had no promo ability, and she was very lackluster in the ring. So what is everybody crying about with her losing her job? I guess with all the social media buzz that she's garnered, she could take that to the indies and now be a bigger star for it. So why are we crying about Indy Hartwell losing her job? Is she losing her job and she's going into the unemployment line and won't find work all next year? Not saying we can't feel bad for these people, but the ways of the indies now, independent pro wrestling, is a vastly different beast. There's so much work and so much opportunity and so much for people to go out there and achieve. And you're claiming as if, oh, WWE didn't give her the opportunity to do so. Fuck them. In Tegan Knox and Indy Hartwell, you should be absolutely over the moon about these women hitting the independents. Not only will Indy get better by working with people who she's never worked with and working various multiple different promotions, they're going to be better off for it in their first month. The one person I look at when it comes to a female getting released from the company, look at Steph DeLander. Did you see what she transformed herself into after leaving WWE? Do you remember Steph DeLander in WWE on NXT? Absolutely bottom of the barrel, fucking garbage what they gave her on NXT. She hit the indies. She got paired with Matt Cardona. She made herself into a must-see attraction on the independent circuit. She fucking killed it. She made a name for herself within the first 6 months of leaving WWE, and she had everybody in that company saying, well, how the fuck did we let her go? Look at what she did. That's a perfect example of what the WWE does to you. They bind you to the fucking ball and chain, and they don't allow you to be who you are. Some people get through, and they are allowed to showcase who they are. Most do not. When it comes to someone like Steph DeLander, look at what she transformed herself into. The biggest statement of all that she did in the last year was tell WWE, you made a mistake letting me go. Now look at me. Do you think when Steph DeLander's a free agent and healthy from her neck injury, don't you think that WWE, when she's available and free and able to do so, you don't think they're going to give her another opportunity? Not the same person we saw in NXT. Better. Indy Hartwell and Tegan Nox are not going to be the same person that they were in WWE. They will be better. So what is all the bitching and the crying and the fucking social justice? I don't believe the evil empire. They released these poor women. If anything, you should be fucking pleased that they are now no longer bound by WWE's bullshit. They will be fine. I hope that they all find success somewhere. But keeping them tied to WWE because they didn't have an opportunity, and they certainly deserve one. What did Indy do that really transcended the business, that she deserved an opportunity? She needs work. Go find work. Go get yourself better. And then maybe we'll give you a call back in the future. Same thing with Tegan Nox. Do you think this is the end all be all? Do you think that this is the end of the line? WWE is always looking for talent. Some talent is let go from WWE to only come back to WWE. Better. I think everybody will be fine here. Nobody needs to bitch and moan about Baron Corbin, Tegan Nox, and Indy Hartwell. Everybody is going to be fine. We're going to get into the SmackDown post show. I appreciate you guys very much. I wanted to start off with that tonight because that was the big news. That was actually bigger than anything that happened on the show tonight. But if you guys want to get in on all the action tonight, man, I would really appreciate it. Follow me on social media, at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for all notifications. Make sure you guys go and check out all the other content on the channel. There's plenty of it. I will be live for Crown Jewel tomorrow night. Should be a good show. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for all notifications. Super chats are open. Make sure you get those on, and we'll hang out at the end of the show as always. And shout out to my family over on Twitch. We are also live on Twitch. Thank you guys for hanging out with me over there. Tonight's show is sponsored by Blue Chew. BlueChew.com, code JD at checkout. Make sure you guys get yourself a free sample of Blue Chew on me. BlueChew.com. And like I said, all the other content on the channel, we're live on Monday for Raw, Tuesday night, Titans episode 71, which, by the way, Jason Solomonson and I will not be live this coming Tuesday for election night. Taking the week off, we'll be right back with you, not next week, the following week we will be back. And then Wednesday, I don't know what I'm doing yet. Right now, I feel like I should cover NXT from the ECW arena. But if AEW does go live at 9 p.m., I may cover both shows in the same night. So we'll see what happens. But keep an eye and an ear out on the socials for everything you guys need right here on Off the Script. Baron Corbin to join the learning tree. No, thank you. Nobody wants to see that whatsoever. At all. That would be terrible. SmackDown. Nia Jax and Liv Morgan. Show opened up with a shot of the Crown Jewel title in the ring as Michael Cole hyped up the women's champion Crown Jewel match. Nia Jax made her entrance. Jax began by saying the only thing on her mind is the Women's Crown Jewel Championship. Nia Jax said she wants it, and she gets everything she wants. Nia Jax listed off becoming Queen of the Ring and becoming WWE Women's Champion. She then called Liv Morgan insufferable, and she smirked. Jax said she will walk out the first ever Crown Jewel Champion, and then Liv Morgan comes out. And she walked out with Dirty Dom and Raquel Rodriguez. Tiffany Stratton, she's out there with Nia Jax holding the Miss Money in the Bank briefcase. Stratton said at Crown Jewel, it will be Tiffy time because she's going to take her Money in the Bank briefcase and cash it in to become the new WWE Women's Champion. Stratton cut off Jax, who started to talk, and told Jax not to get too comfortable. Morgan laughed at them and said she has people around her that she can trust. Stratton said she hasn't made her decision yet, and both Jax and Morgan were starting to piss her off. Stratton reiterated that she will cash in at Crown Jewel. Stratton then asked Morgan that if she beats Liv Morgan, does that mean Dom also goes with Tiffany Stratton? Crowd popped for that one line. Now, I don't know what it is with Dirty Dom, but he's got Liv Morgan, and now he wants Tiffany Stratton, or rather, Tiffany Stratton wants a piece of Dirty Dom. Liv Morgan wants a piece of Dirty Dom. Tiffany Stratton wants a piece of Dirty Dom. What is the guy working with? What is and what are his secrets? I don't know. Stratton said that she could use some dirty in her life, and Morgan says it looks like Stratton already has some dirty in her life. Stratton responded by elbowing Morgan out of the ring. Morgan then yelled for a referee as the show went to a commercial break. And we come back to Liv Morgan and Tiffany Stratton. If I told you guys this got 2.5 minutes of TV time, would you believe me? This got 2.5 minutes of TV time. I don't know why, but it is what it is. The match was joined in progress. Morgan was beating down Tiffany. We got to the outside. Morgan ran Stratton into the Prime cart, Prime Energy cart on the outside that's by the commentary table. Morgan hopped onto Dominic, and they rubbed noses, the cute little couple. Back in the ring, Stratton cut Morgan off with a boot to the stomach. Stratton went for her gymnastic splash. Liv moved, took control. Stratton caught Morgan, hit a powerbomb, and she went for a cover, and she got a two count. Stratton yelled at Morgan that she's nothing without Dominic. Stratton then lifted Morgan. It resulted in a code breaker from Liv for a two count. Morgan then went for her finish, which is Oblivion. Stratton countered with a big boot. Jax hopped up to distract the referee, and threw Stratton her Money in the Bank briefcase. Stratton tried to hit Morgan with it, but Morgan moved and rolled Stratton up and hooked the tights for the 1-2-3. After the match, Morgan hit Stratton with the briefcase. Jax grabbed it and hit everyone that she could see with the briefcase. Jax then hit her finish on Liv Morgan and gave her the Annihilator. Tiffany Stratton said a couple of times that she's going to cash in her Money in the Bank briefcase. Now, I don't think that it's going to happen at Crown Jewel. I don't know why you would want to do it there. I would not do it there. I honestly think that Tiffany Stratton, this is my prediction. Jason and I, the Solomonson and I, talked about this on Tuesday Night Titans. If you guys want to go listen to our Crown Jewel predictions, it's all in episode 71. The way that I see this happening is not a cash-in. I think Tiffany Stratton is going to cause a distraction, and this will cost Nia Jax the match. Liv Morgan will become the Crown Jewel champion. Nia Jax will be upset. She will then start bullying Tiffany Stratton to a point where Tiffany is going to remain loyal to her for the little bit that she has left, And then she's going to end up cashing in on Nia Jax, whether that happens at Survivor Series, whether that happens on a SmackDown before Survivor Series, I don't know. Remember, we also got Charlotte Flair, which I know is a going narrative right now. She is looming. She is ready to come off the conveyor belt and fucking conveyor herself onto SmackDown. She is still looming large. And you know when she comes back, she's going to be thrusted into the World Championship title picture because WWE doesn't know any better. I do not think Nia Jax is losing the championship to Tiffany Stratton in Saudi Arabia. I think Liv Morgan wins, she becomes the crown jewel champion, and we get another month, another PLE without a cash-in. But this time I think Tiffany is going to cause a distraction that will aid in Nia Jax losing. So we will see what happens. Kevin Owens. He had a promo airing from inside his car. Once again, these cell phone promos from Kevin Owens. Owens says he tried to call Randy Orton all week, but Orton never answered. Owens says he didn't want to fight Orton because he looked up to Orton, and he can't understand why Orton is making Owens do it. Owens says he would never want to hurt Randy Orton, but now he's going to. Owens says he's going to hurt Orton like Orton hurt Owens. Because Orton did this to us. I will see you on Saturday. Kevin Owens, it's going to hurt Randy Orton. The most interesting story that we have going on right now on Friday nights. Street Profits. Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins against Pretty Dead. Pretty Deadly, sorry. Kit Wilson and Montez Ford. This went 4 minutes. Montez, if I could find it, Montez actually came out today. There was a quote from Montez Ford about how he was frustrated with the WWE. Let me see if I could look this up quickly. I know I saw it floating around on social media. He actually came out and said he was very frustrated with the WWE. And this all stems from the Bobby Lashley pairing where they paired Street Profits and Bobby Lashley because they didn't want to do the Hurt Business, but they gave him the Street Profits and they named themselves the Pride, which was awful. Lashley and the Final Testament were feuding. Two factions here feuding. That was the last time we saw Bobby Lashley on television, who, by the way, just made his AEW debut on Dynamite by attacking Swerve Strickland at the end of this week's Dynamite. So that was basically all that the Pride was known for. They didn't really do much of anything else on Friday night. Montez was interviewed with Daily Mail's Lewis Browning. And Montez spoke about the Profits team up with Lashley and what lesson he took from the former WWE champion, Bobby Lashley. He says, and I quote, "I'm glad with what we had for the short time, B-Fab and the Almighty, when he was here. But what I took from that lesson is anything can happen. Anything can transition. Anybody can leave. Anybody can just depart at any time. You kind of just have to pick up whatever's left and just run with it. It's exactly what I'm doing now. When all those things were happening, we were very, very excited because Lashley was somebody that we looked up to, somebody I watched as a kid, and now I'm being paired with him, and he's being my mentor, and he's ushering us in this new chapter of the Street Profits. All these things are running. We have a WrestleMania win, and then boom, it stops. It's just been this constant stop and go, stop and go, stop and go with the Profits, where we'll get momentum, and then the momentum will stop. Then the momentum will start again, and the momentum will stop. For us, that's frustrating because it's hard to get behind a team whose momentum starts and then it shifts all over again. This is a business at the end of the day. You can get into a faction. I have aspirations and passions and things I want to do. But if the other people that I'm attached to don't have the same mentality, then it can fail. They can have dreams or aspirations of being champion or leaving or not renewing contracts or doing whatever else it is. But it's not the same mindset of whatever I have going on. So I always take it as whatever you're involved with, just be prepared for it to shift. Because everyone may not have the same mindset that you have. It's like doing a group project at school. Everyone's on the same page, but there's always that one that may have different visions or a different route that they want to go. And you either have to reach a compromise or work it out together where you reach a medium or you go your separate ways and you do what's best for yourself. He says, it's the best, man, for me to sit here and go like, how's it going? That it's good. That would be a lie. There's always pleasure in doing what you love, what you admire, what you've dreamt of, what you have goals in and passion for. But it does get to that sense of frustration where anything you try to accomplish in life, where you may feel like it's either taking too long or it's been too long or nothing's happening. You've got new faces showing up on the scene and our audience naturally tends to forget what we've done and how we've done it. In the now, it is at the point where it's almost been 4 years since we've been tag team champions. See, the thing is, and I know what everybody's thinking. The thing with the Street Profits is, and the thing with Montez Ford is, Montez is the guy that everybody sees as a breakout star. People look at the Street Profits and immediately see Montez Ford and then will question, well, why isn't he a single star? WWE kind of gave him a little taste of what that could be. If you guys remember, a couple of years ago, where did that go? That didn't go anywhere. But everybody wanted to see more of it because they knew how good Montez Ford was. The thing with Montez is he's attached to Angelo Dawkins. I don't know what Angelo Dawkins wants to do. I don't know where Angelo Dawkins wants to be in WWE. I don't know what his career aspirations are. I don't know what his goals are. Maybe Montez Ford wants to be WWE champion and he wants to be this big breakout guy and he wants to main event WrestleMania. That's great. That's the mentality that you should have. That's the type of guy I want in my locker room. That's the type of guy I want on my roster. I don't know what Angelo Dawkins wants. Does he want those same things? Or is he content with being in the Street Profits and not winning championship gold and being in the lower end of the tag team division, feuding with Pretty Deadly? Nothing matches with Pretty Deadly. That means nothing. It goes nowhere. There's no story. Yes, the fans have forgotten about what the Street Profits have done. Yes, the fans have forgotten about how good the Street Profits are because they haven't been in anything substantial. I don't know what WWE needs to do. You can't just break up a team like the Street Profits in this tag team division where there are already no teams. You can't break up the Street Profits right now. You can't because of the one glaring problem with the division, and it's the depth of the division. Sure, you brought in the Motor City Machine Guns. Great, they're tag team champions, but who are you going to put opposite the Motor City Machine Guns? WWE, and I've said this so many times, I could turn blue in the face. We talked about this on TNT. It's always a thing that comes up when we talk about tag team wrestling. Merge the titles. Bring these divisions together and just form one tag team division with both shows. You want to fix your tag team dilemma? There you go. There you go. But the WWE won't do that. They're too good for that. No matter who's in charge, Vince, Paul Levesque, it could be fucking anybody. At the end of the day, WWE will not make a decision like this because at the end of the day, when a decision like that is made, WWE would be admitting defeat. They would be admitting failure. But they don't realize that admitting failure is only going to make people happy. So how big of a failure would it be? If you merge the divisions and you unify the titles, you would be at liberty to take the Street Profits and break them up. You would be at liberty to take Montez Ford and make him into a single star. the division would allow that to happen because of all the other teams that you have in the division. But we're not there. And we may never be there. And by the time we get there, it may be too late for Montez Ford because all the frustrations he's feeling now, if he doesn't get to that point, if he doesn't get there, don't you think he's going to be more frustrated when he gets there? You risk running more and more and more frustration with Montez Ford to a point where when their deals are up, he may seek employment elsewhere. And that's not the type of guy you want to lose. So sure, he's allowed to feel frustrated with the creative because the tag team creative in WWE has been a fucking sore thumb for so long. I have lost count how many times I've complained actively about the tag team division. There is an easy, easy fix. An easy fix. WWE's got no problem deleting women's tag team titles on NXT. WWE, that's WWE admitting defeat, no? Why is there such a vast discrepancy when we do one thing for the women, but we don't do it for the men? I never understood how we have a set of women's tag team titles that legitimately has NXT, SmackDown, and Raw teams all vying for the titles tomorrow afternoon at Crown Jewel. How Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair are SmackDown stars and can go to Monday Night Raw. They could show up on NXT, which they did in St. Louis. Why do we have different rules for the men? Why can't we have the same rules apply to the men? How about we get a unification match and then adopt the same rules as the women's tag team division for the men's tag team division? So a move like Montez Ford breaking out into a singles role could actually happen. I'd love to see Montez go heel. I'd love to see Montez and Bianca become a heel power couple in WWE. That would be fucking fantastic. Because God only knows she needs something, being that she's got to be babysitter to Jade Cargill and actively is ruining whatever Bianca has worked for. Carrying Jade Cargill and the load of amateur Jade Cargill isn't really making Bianca Belair look all that special anymore. The fix is easy. I don't know why we haven't taken steps to get there. But WWE's ego is so inflated, they don't want to admit that they just did this decision at WrestleMania. Now they can't undo it because it would be too soon and it would be WWE admitting that they were wrong. I'll fucking tell you every day until I'm blue in the face that you were fucking... I've been telling you were wrong since 2016. Tag team division needs to be fixed. There is a fix. I don't know why we haven't taken steps to get there. Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton. Actually, we didn't even talk about the pretty deadly match with Street Profits won. If you guys needed any, if you needed any say on what happened here, Street Profits won. Dawkins took out Prince with a corkscrew elbow, hit a series of spinning splashes on both guys. Prince called Dawkins and tagged in Wilson. Pretty deadly with control for a little bit. Wilson distracted the ref as B-Fab body slammed Elton Prince on the outside. Four tagged in. Profits hit there. Super blockbuster for the 1-2-3. What does it mean? It means absolutely fuck all. Nobody cares. It does nothing for either team. Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton, they were talking backstage. Stratton said she didn't mean it when she said she might cash in on Jax. Naomi and Bayley walked into the conversation, and Naomi told Jax to keep her title warm for Naomi. Stratton had a nasty bump on her head from the briefcase shot that she took earlier in the show. So it looks like we may be getting Nia Jax versus Naomi at some point for the women's championship. Could be the tease where Tiffany Stratton doesn't cash in on Saturday afternoon, but waits till that match. We'll see what happens. Bayley and Naomi defeated Candice LeRae and now released Indy Hartwell. Hartwell and LeRae jump-started the match and attacked both Bayley and Naomi. Hartwell worked over Bayley until Bayley fought back, which led to Indy planting Bayley face first. LeRae tagged in, hits a springboard twisting splash on Bayley to the outside. We go to commercial break. We come back from the break. Both Candice and Indy were in control. Hartwell worked a chin lock on Bayley. LeRae tagged in, and Hartwell slammed LeRae on top of Bayley for a two count. LeRae focused on Bayley's arm. Indy tagged back in, went for a boot. Bayley moved and ran LeRae into the ring post before hitting double knees. LeRae tagged in. Bayley managed to get a hot tag to Naomi. She comes in, planted LeRae on the apron. Crowd was very quiet for all this. I wonder why they released Indy. Naomi followed that up with a big split-legged splash. Things broke down and Bayley was the legal woman. Bayley hits a neck breaker on LeRae and Naomi got a blind tag, but LeRae and Hartwell worked over Bayley. LeRae tried to pin Bayley after a moonsault, but because Bayley wasn't legal, referee didn't count. LeRae ran into a hip attack from Naomi, and Naomi got the 1-2-3. There you go. I'm still hoping for Candice LeRae to get some sort of a push, but it doesn't look like that push and that television time that she's been getting the last couple of weeks has translated into people caring. Nobody cares. This is the product of WWE keeping her on fucking ice for way too long, to a point where fans don't know how good she is. Fans don't know anything about her. Fans have no reason to care about her. Oh, but she's the speed champion, JD. Fuck your speed champion. Nobody gives a fuck about a Twitter show where the matches last just as long as women's matches do normally on Monday and Friday night. We just had Liv Morgan and Tiffany Stratton go 2 minutes. Could that be constituted as a speed match? Fucking ridiculous. Who gives a shit? Bloodline. This was, unfortunately, the whole first hour of nothing. Finally, we get some storyline. Bloodline. Jay showed up on Monday night and told Jimmy that he would be on SmackDown. I'm going to talk to Roman. Jimmy wanted his brother to talk to Roman. Let's hear the OTC out. Fine. Monday Night Raw ended with Jimmy wanting to talk to Sammy because Jay told Sammy earlier in the show on Monday night that he's not family. Sammy took it to heart. Jay told Sammy that Solo is worse than Roman was. Sammy didn't understand or how that could be, but that's what he said. Sammy took that comment to heart. Oosh, you're not family. Certainly acted like family when he was in the Bloodline as the honorary Oos. He did a lot to make that entire Bloodline work. They did not value and appreciate Sami Zayn. He took that to heart. At the end of the show, he was shown talking to Solo Sikoa. This is a red herring. This is a twist and turn that people are going to need to see play out. Sami's not going to join Solo. Sami's going to probably be at Crown Jewel, and Sami is probably going to help the Bloodline tomorrow night in some way, shape, or form. And if not, he will be on television alongside the Bloodline in the next 4 weeks because Jimmy, Jay, and Roman are now back together and it would make no sense for Sammy to not be involved because he is the OTC, he is the honorary Oos, he is also a part of the original Bloodline. Roman Reigns made his entrance. Jimmy Uso was right there behind him. Crowd started chanting OTC, OTC. Jimmy started calling Roman is tribal chief and reminded him that they are stronger together. That's what Roman would always say. Jimmy said he loved Roman and Roman needed to listen. He needed Roman to drop his beef with Jay. Jimmy said he made up with his brother and the crowd chanted, squash this beef, squash this beef. Jimmy said it was time for Roman to make up with his cousin and our brother. Jimmy says if they don't get it right, They'll lose to Solo and his bloodline. Jimmy kept talking, but Roman put his hand out and Jimmy stopped to put the microphone in Roman's hand. Jimmy went to give Roman the microphone. Jey Uso's music hit. Jey made his entrance. Everybody finally woke up. This double taping at the Barclays Center. They were half asleep in the first hour. My God, did everybody go crazy for Jey Uso, man. Roman legitimately looking around like he don't believe what Uso has done to this audience. He doesn't know how big his cousin got in his time away from the bloodline. Legitimately looking around in awe, this confused look all over his face. It's crazy. Everybody started yeeting. Michael Cole started yeeting. After his music ended, crowd started singing along to the rest of his theme song. The music stopped, and they started singing his theme song. More chance of squash this beef from New York City. Jey took his sunglasses off and said, let's get to the point. Let's make one thing clear. This match, this fight, he only took it to get back at Solo. Because Solo cost Jey his Intercontinental title, and he's now messing with the family. Jey said things aren't all the way fixed, though. Jey said it took all he had to stand beside Roman in the ring, and he won't forget what Roman did to him. The physical damage, the emotional damage, the mental damage. Jey said he showed up because that's what family does. Through all this, the crowd gave yeets along the way. Jey says they got to show everyone it's family above all. Jey said this go around. Roman won't tell Jey what to do and how to do it. So he's already laid the groundwork for this. I said this last week when I covered SmackDown. There's one thing that Jey Uso needed to do if he confronts Roman. Whatever happened, whatever you did, however you operated, however you led the bloodline, it cannot happen the same way. You need to be humble. You need to realize that what happened to you, that what we did for you, it would have never happened if you didn't have us. It's basically what it was. Roman needs to understand that. Is Roman going to come out and say, I'm sorry for doing what I did? No, he's not going to say that because they're not going to be in a position to make Roman look weak. Roman is going to understand in the way Roman understands. He already told Jey he's proud of him. He already told Jey that the entire family is proud of him. Roman standing in that ring, the confusion, I seen right through that. Roman is proud. He doesn't understand it, but he's proud of Jey Uso. So all the emotional, all the mental, all the physical damage, we got to show everyone it's family above all. You will not tell me what to do and how to do it. Jey says he's not going to be a lackey anymore. We are now your equal. It's the most important line in the entire segment. Jey Uso told Roman that he is his equal. And by the crowd reaction, that is 100% factual information. Jey said all three of them are equals. And they should run things like they used to back in the day. Jey, if Roman speaks to or treats Jey with the slightest disrespect, he's gone. That's what he told Roman. One comment that's out of line, one disrespectful comment that's out of line, I am done. Jey said Roman could act like his cousin and not his tribal chief. And he'd see him at Crown Jewel. And together we'd do this for family. Jey asked Roman if they would do the damn thing. And Roman asked for Jimmy's microphone. Chance of OTC, OTC. Roman looked around. And the only thing he said was yeet. The man said one word. And it got New York City to absolutely erupt. Crowd erupted. Jay threw down his microphone. You got a chance of hug it out. Hug it out. They did not hug it out. Jimmy said, looks at the heart camera, throws his one in the air. He looks back at Roman and at Jay. He still got the one in the air. Jay stepped up. He did the same thing. He put the one in the air. Roman followed suit, and he put the one in the air. And Roman's music played at the end of the segment as everyone went crazy for the ones. How many times do I have to tell you guys? When there's emotion, in the story, how much better is the story? You dropped everything and listened to what Jey Uso had to say. Everybody waited with bated breath on what Roman was going to tell Jey after Jey basically told Roman how it's going to be. I'm my own man now. I'm my own star. We are equals now. They took everything that's been happening over the last 6 months. He told Roman, and Roman acknowledged him. Roman acknowledged Jey Uso. And the emotion that was in this segment. One word. One finger in the air and people went fucking crazy. This is what I speak of and this is what I preach every fucking week. Mostly on Wednesdays. Where there's emotion. Where there's investment in the character. When you put all of that together. The television that is created is magic. That is what we are missing on a lot of different aspects of AEW television. Now, I'm not saying everything's got to replicate the bloodline, but it all comes down to the characters. It all comes down to how they are presented. It's all down to how they are perceived by the audience. It's in the hands of WWE to make their characters feel bigger than life. It's in the hands of WWE to make them feel special, to make them feel important. Not saying they do that with everybody. But with these three, the way that they've been carefully curated to who they are now, you see what WWE has done and the reaction vouched for it. How much of that are you seeing on Wednesday nights? Zero. Who on AEW television, who on Wednesday night are you that emotionally invested in? Zero. All your flips, all your fucking dives, all your gymnastics and aerobatics and your holograms and your fucking commanders and people that fucking walk in the street, they couldn't fucking give a single shit on who these fucking people are. That's what's missing. Don't know how many times I got to tell you. Again, I'm not saying everything has to be the bloodline. But give me characters that ask the audience to invest in them. Build. Create. This was great. Everything about it was great. I don't know where Sammy gets involved. I don't know where Paul Heyman is. We haven't seen Paul Heyman yet. I would assume Paul Heyman's going to be back before War Games. So we'll see. The match is made for Crown Jewel. I don't even think we got a graphic for it. Match was already made. Roman, Usos, Solo, Fatu, and Tama Tonga. Should be good. This was a great segment. Byron Saxton interviewed Motor City Machine Guns backstage and asked what their goals were. Austin Theory and Grayson Waller came in. Waller said they respect Motor City Machine Guns. And they should be on the biggest talk show in WWE. Alex Shelley then looks at him and says, Miz TV? Turns out Motor City Machine Guns will be on the Grayson Waller Effect next week. Great. already off to a bad start with them feuding with Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. Io Sky. Fatal 4-Way here with Bianca Belair, Lash Legend, and Piper Niven. This was actually very good. Not going to lie. This was actually very good. Things were a little clunky to start the match out, but it ended up being very fun. It's a good word to use. Fun. Sky tried to roll up Lash Legend, who you could tell is still green the way she moves in the ring and how unnatural she is in delivering certain moves. She's still very green. But I could absolutely see what WWE likes about Lash Legend. It's not that difficult to see. Legend elbowed Sky viciously. Two went to the outside and Belair moved as Piper Niven went for a corner splash. Niven hit a shoulder block on Belair. And Lash Legend dumped Sky out to the apron. Legend and Niven traded shots. Lash tried to lift Niven but could not. And then Piper tried to lift Nash. Piper tried to lift Lash and couldn't. So the two women hit dual clotheslines and eventually took each other out. I'm assuming Piper Niven could probably lift Kevin Nash. Belair got back in the ring, hit a moonsault. EO returned and threw Lash Legend to the outside. Sky went for another moonsault. Niven cut Sky off. Belair dumped Piper to the outside. Belair followed that up with an attempted splash. Niven and Lash caught Belair and threw her into the guardrail, and we go to a commercial break. We come back from break, and Belair hits a big splash from the top rope. That was on Piper and Lash. Belair hits a spine buster on Piper Niven, followed up with a shoulder block. Belair worked the big 10 punches in the corner spot. Match resets when Sky came off the top and drop-kicked everybody in the ring. Sky then hits a series of double knees on the heels, on Lash and on Piper, and then went to the top. Niven cut her off. Niven lifted Sky and Belair interfered by powerbombing Piper. Lash Legend got back into the match and hit her finish on Belair. Legend went for the pin, but Chelsea Green broke it up. No DQ. Anything goes. So Cargill is on the outside. Jakara Jackson got involved, so Jade takes care of Jakara Jackson. Legend took Cargill out. Back inside the ring, Piper landed a series of power moves and sentons on everyone. Niven hit a Michinoku driver on Bianca. Lash Legend then kicked Niven and Cargill, and Lash engaged in a stare down with Jade, which popped the crowd. Cargill was then pulled outside as Lash Legend was looking at Cargill. Belair lifted Lash in the KOD, which she struggled with. And she hit it. She was going to go for the pin, but Io came off the top rope and hit a moonsault on Bianca Belair and then pinned Lash Legend to get the 1-2-3. Good ending. Good match. Everybody shined. And I thought these ladies did a very good job tonight. I do. Good stuff. I don't know who's going to win the match tomorrow night, but I said on Tuesday Night Titans with Solomonster, I do not see Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill retaining the tag team titles. I think it either goes to the Damage Control girls or Piper Niven and Chelsea Green. I do. I could see the upset in Chelsea Green and Piper Niven win it. But the way EO has been operating lately, I could see WWE just rewarding EO. Honestly. I'd love to see that. EO and Kyrie. It's not going to help the division at all. But at least as far as them and what EO's been doing, I think giving it to EO is probably something that is very well deserved. Cody and Randy were talking backstage. Cody asked Randy to save a piece of KO for Cody, but Orton said there won't be anything left when he's done with KO. Orton stared at Cody's WWE title. Don't know how many of you picked up on that, but he did stare at the title. And he looked at the title, he looked at Cody, and then he said, I'd see you out there for the tag team match. Foreshadowing to come. We got an Andrade vignette airing. He says he will become the new champion of the United States. Carmelo then had a vignette that followed. And he said he can't think of a better place to win the United States title than in Saudi Arabia. And that was a very risky thing to say. Surprised they actually went there. LA Knight, he was the final vignette and says he didn't regret doing what he did to Andrade and Carmelo during Game 7. Knight also says he would retain the title at Crown Jewel, which is more than likely going to happen. But I said, if there was any other outcome, I could see them giving the title to Carmelo Hayes. Solo Sikoa. We had a bloodline vignette. Sikoa said his new family would never hurt him or let him down. Solo brought up how Jimmy, Jay, and Roman couldn't get along. Solo kept questioning why he's the bad guy and says he's not the bad guy. He's the tribal chief. At Crown Jewel, he said, Roman Reigns and Roman's bloodline will respect Solo's bloodline and they will acknowledge him. Bloodline, Solo's bloodline, is going to win at Crown Jewel. Why would they win at Crown Jewel? Well, can't have the babyfaces win if you're going to set up a War Games match. The heels got to win to set up the War Games match. It's as fundamental and simple as that. Solo is going to win at Crown Jewel. Main event time. Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton against Ludwig Kaiser and Gunther. Imperium. This was very much a house show main event. This was not an over-the-top, overbooked, exciting tag team match. They did not want to give too much away in this match before the PLE. They did not want to give too much of Cody and Gunther away before the PLE. It was nothing more than a very fundamental and basic tag team main event that you would usually see on TV before a pay-per-view that gave you a little taste of what's to come, that did not want to give away too much between the two guys that will probably be in the main event of tomorrow's show. It's a house show main event. It's more about what happened at the end of the match anyway. Cody and Gunther started the match. Gunther immediately went to the outside. Kaiser then attacked Cody and worked Cody over inside the ring until Cody came back with a big vertical suplex on Ludwig Kaiser. Cody clotheslined Kaiser over the top rope. Suicide dive followed. Cody rolled Kaiser back into the ring. And we go to the show's final commercial break. The show returned and Kaiser had the advantage inside the ring. Cody went for a Cody cutter, but Kaiser cut Cody off. Gunther then kicked Cody in the face. Kaiser punched Cody repeatedly, then tagged Gunther in. And Imperium hit stereo kicks on the WWE champion. Cody and Gunther exchanged blows until Gunther chopped the shit out of Cody and then tagged in Ludwig Kaiser. Kaiser landed a big knee for a two count. Slowed the match down with a chin lock. Eventually, Kaiser and Cody clotheslined each other to set up the hot tags. Hot tag took place. Orton comes in. Hits Kaiser with his signature snap power slam. Gunther tagged in. Orton went for the draping DDT on Kaiser, but Gunther broke it up with a big chop. Gunther was the recipient instead of the draping DDT by Randy Orton. Orton set up for an RKO. Gunther blocked it. Cody tagged back in. Kaiser did the same, and Cody hit his bionic elbow on Kaiser before landing a Cody cutter off the top rope. Set up for Crossroads. Gunther broke it up. Orton then hit an RKO on Gunther that gave Cody the in to hit the Crossroads on Kaiser for the 1-2-3. So Orton and Cody posed after their win. Owens, Kevin Owens, ran in and hit Orton with a steel chair in the midsection and then smashed it across his back. Owens stared at Orton down on the mat, writhing in pain. Cody Rhodes was on the top turnbuckle posing for the crowd. He turned around. He saw KO. He jumps off the turnbuckle. He starts advancing Kevin Owens, but from behind, Gunther grabs him and applies the sleeper hold and chokes out Cody with the sleeper hold. And the show goes off the air with Cody reaching for the ropes as if that's going to do anything, as Gunther is basically putting Cody Rhodes to sleep. He's having a nightmare, is Cody Rhodes. And that's the way the show goes off the air. They didn't really give away too much. They didn't give away too much. My one hesitation with this main event being booked was, you know, Cody and Gunther having a match on Friday night, and they gave away too much. It only went 10 minutes. We got a couple of sequences between Cody and Gunther, but it wasn't anything to ruin anything that we'll see tomorrow afternoon, which I think is going to be a great match. Owen showed up when he was banned from the building. He was not supposed to be there. That was a surprise. So he took a chair to Randy Orton, and he's promising to hurt Randy Orton a lot on Saturday night. So we'll see what happens. But SmackDown, man, the first hour was a complete waste of time. Absolutely as meaningless as you could possibly have WWE television. That was basically all the first hour. The second hour was a lot better. So I would say if I was to give this show two thumbs up, I'd give it one thumb up, 50-50. Not really a good SmackDown. We got to get through these tape shows. I hate the fact that we have to get through these tape shows because we know how fucking lame and boring they are. We had one tonight. We have one on Monday. Monday Night Raw is taped. It's being taped on Sunday night in Saudi Arabia for Monday. So we just got to get through these shows. And then with the last 3 weeks of build, we'll be live in action, ready to go. And we'll be building towards Survivor Series. But thank you guys very much for all of your support. Appreciate you guys very much for joining me on this Friday night SmackDown post show. If you did enjoy tonight's stream, I would really appreciate you guys hit that thumbs up. Let's try for 750 likes in the chat tonight live for the SmackDown post on OTS. Super chats are open. Get them on in. We're going to hang out at the end of the show in just a second. Tonight's show is sponsored by Blue Chew. BlueChew.com. Code JD at checkout. Make sure you guys go get your free sample on me, courtesy of the podcast. Always great to see my great friends over at Blue Chew supporting what we do here on Off the Script. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. And go check out all the other videos on the channel. There will be plenty of great content that you guys can get caught up on. I uploaded the last 2 days on the second channel, JD from NY Shorts. That's linked down below. Go subscribe over there. Yesterday, we uploaded our Crown Jewel predictions, me and the Solid Monster. And today, we uploaded my thoughts on Private Party winning the AEW tag team titles. Happy for those guys, but what does it mean? Not much. Chris Lloyd. Chris Lloyd with a $5 super chat. Thank you, brother. Fun fact. Seth Rollins has defended the Raw Women's Championship more times on pay-per-view than Mercedes Moné did. I'm not sure what you mean, bro. Seth Rollins never held the Raw Women's Championship. Cody Snyder with 30 months. Where the fuck is Paul Heyman? I don't know. I have no idea, man. I'm assuming he will be back before Survivor Series. Tribal Chief with a $2 super chat. Show sucked, but I know yours won't. OTS rules, pal. Thank you, brother. Apex Calibre with a 199 times 2. So does Rhea win the Royal Rumble or the Elimination Chamber to face Liv at Mania? No. I hope to God not. Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley should not happen at WrestleMania. No. Supposedly, Liv Morgan has a legit injury that they wrote her off television for. after she was attacked in the NXT parking lot on Tuesday. She has a fractured orbital bone. If WWE manages to get Rhea Ripley back before Saturday night's main event, that is the perfect place to do it. If not, you do it on that Monday Night Raw debut on Netflix. And then you give this storyline a finish. Because it is sputtering out of control, man. It is not entertaining at all anymore. You could just feel it needs to die. It needs to end. For sure. Watch Tony hire all the releases instantly. Bro, Tony needs to worry about booking the fucking roster and the shows he has now and not worry about anything or anybody else. M. James, 2000 with a $2 Super Chat. Just like Dijak, they should have left Corbin in NXT. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why they called Baron Corbin up if they weren't going to do anything with him. I'm sure Shawn Michaels could have absolutely utilized Baron Corbin, for sure. Michelle Moran with a $2 Super Chat. To add a twist, I would have Sammy join with Solo at Crown Jewel. No. Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to do that? Ali with 27 months. JD, thank you for everything you do. You're an amazing YouTuber. And nobody does it better. You always make my day brighter. Hashtag Ace. Hashtag OTS for life. Thank you, Ali. Thank you for being here for 27 months, man. Oh, Jocelyn Cara. With a new membership. What the fuck are you drinking? Thank you for becoming a VIP. Appreciate you very, very much. Scripps Wrestling Federation with a $5 Super Chat. I'm sorry. Tegan, Indy, and Baron being released from WWE is any of our business because... .. I'm sorry, Tegan, Indy, and Baron being released from WWE is any of our business because... I don't know, Scripps. I don't know what you're insinuating there, bro. Eric Alcindor with a $5 Super Chat. Where does Shelton Benjamin go after a loss to Swerve Strickland? His loss kind of nerfed his momentum. Bro, AEW Dynamite has lost its momentum. And I doubt it's going to get it back. Oh, Jocelyn Carr with a $4.99. Glad to be a part of the OTS family. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, thank you, thank you. WrestleMess. With a $4.99, WWE NXT is the best women's roster in the world, and room has to be made. I expect more cuts from the division. The White Knights are on the way. Hashtag OTS for life. It's exactly what I said. WWE's got to make way for some of the blossoming young stars that they have big hopes for. Apex with a $1.99. Does Heyman bring Sammy out? Where is Paul Heyman? I don't know, man. I don't know where Paul Heyman is. Paul Heyman should be back on television relatively soon. I know he's going to be back on television because he's the wise man. Roman needs his wise man. Gold Standard with a $5 Super Chat. Pockets in the main event of Full Gear. He must be drawing a lot of money for AEW. Wink emoji. Gary McGongle with an 8 months. Thanks, JD, for all you do. You've helped me so much this past 18 months. While I've been battling lung cancer, so much love from all your supporters. Gary, I'm sorry to hear that, brother. I wish you absolutely nothing but the best, man. I'm very sorry to hear that. Pause with the 9 months. At some point, we need Roman to X solo. And who he got the Ulafala from. Also, do you think Roman versus Gunther would be Mania worthy? Of course I would. Of course it's Mania worthy. Michael Liege with a 5. I didn't realize Lash was so damn big. She makes Jay look small. Even Bianca had trouble putting her in the KOD. Yes, Lash is a... Lash is very, very muscular. Run Good Life with 19 months from the best in the YouTube trading card biz to the best in the YouTube wrestling community biz. Much love and respect. Glad to catch the show live for once. Glad to have you here, brother. Make it here a little bit more often, will you? Blue Jay with a $2 Super Chat. Did you see Cody's interview with Andrew Schultz? I did not. Mendelfs Eastman with a 2. Obafemi debut tomorrow. Reaction would be good. No. In what match would he be debuting? Obafemi needs to win the NXT title at Stand and Deliver from Trick Williams. Calling him up right now is not a good move. You call up Trick Williams first before you call up Obafemi. Apex with a $1.99. Tony would only put them on Collision anyway. Yeah, probably. Probably. Tony don't know what the fuck he's doing. Tony's fucking clueless, man. He is absolutely fucking clueless. I mean, we're going to get the fucking Young Bucks to save AEW, man. Did you guys see that? Did you guys see that rumor? The Young Bucks are going on hiatus, and then they're going to come back and save AEW from the Blackpool Combat Club. Dead. I am not invested in that whatsoever. Anyway, guys, thank you for a great stream. I'm about to hop on some Black Ops 6. It's double XP weekend, man. I hate the fucking game. I think it's awful, but I don't know why I don't just quit playing. Thank you guys for a great stream, man. If you guys enjoyed tonight's festivities, please hit that thumbs up. Follow me on social media at JD from NY 206. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for all notifications. Make sure you guys go check out all the other content on the channel. There is plenty to whet your appetite. Monday Night Raw, Tuesday Night Titans, AEW Dynamite. We're live tonight. We're live tomorrow afternoon. We got some extra coming this weekend, I'm sure. We're the best month, the best October that we've ever had in the channel's history. Let's do the same for November, huh? Now follow me on social media at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for notifications. Hit that thumbs up. Would really appreciate it. Helps me out. And leave a comment. Leave a comment down below, man. Those also help me out big time as well. Until tomorrow afternoon, I will see you guys right back here in the venue. For Crown Jewel, we got Gunther, Cody Rhodes, Sami Zayn, and the Bloodline drama. How is that going to play out in that big six-man tag team match? Will he show up? Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. Liv Morgan versus Nia Jax. And LA Knight defends the United States Championship against Andrade. And Carmelo Hayes, man. Until tomorrow night. Or tomorrow afternoon, rather, I will see you right back here live with Crown Jewel right here on Off the Script. I'll see you guys later.
Think you know all about Cleveland? Think again and get ready to learn much more about Cleveland. Listen to the latest episodes of Destination Cleveland's podcast, Legends of the Land. We're talking to locals and experts to uncover answers to those burning questions we get asked about the land. Get the real story behind all things Cleveland. From its rich history to the hidden gems, there's so much to explore. Tune in on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you find your podcasts. Discover a side of Cleveland you never knew.